You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. In the complex world of enterprise identity, securing legacy web apps at scale can be daunting. Strata Identity makes it simple. With Strata, you can effortlessly integrate non-standard apps with any identity service, like MFA or SSO, with zero coding and zero hassle. Designed by identity architects for identity architects, Strata works with every vendor, standard, and app architecture. This means your apps can now speak modern protocols and integrate seamlessly with your chosen identity services. From securing on-prem web apps to migrating away from outdated identity providers or consolidating them, Strata helps you keep your complex access policies as you modernize your identity infrastructure and get rid of technical debt. Join leading organizations like 3M, Dallas County, and CIBC in securing your apps with Strata. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your identity security priorities, and receive a complimentary pair of AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Connect today at strata.io/cyberwire.
Imgur discloses a data breach, Uber faces regulatory attention and possible post-hack headwinds for its anticipated IPO, Mozilla's working on a Firefox add-on to warn you that a site you're visiting has been breached, there's a minor resurgence of Mirai, mostly from routers in Argentina, anti-ISIS hacktivists school the caliphate in information operations, what did the FBI know about Fancy Bear, North Koreans study blockchain, and winter is coming for an Iranian hacker. I'm Dave Bittner with your CyberWire summary for Monday, November 27, 2017. Imgur, the image sharing service, disclosed Friday that it had been hacked in 2014, losing some 1.7 million email addresses and passwords, probably to a brute force attack against the SHA-256 hashing algorithm it was using at the time. Imgur has since moved to Bcrypt, reckoned a more secure algorithm. Researcher Troy Hunt, who operates the site Have I Been Pwned, discovered the breach on Thursday and immediately informed Imgur. Their swift disclosure, just one day later, is being widely commended. Detection, of course, was slow, but once they learned of the breach, they were very fast indeed. As Hunt put it, quote, I want to recognize Imgur's exemplary handling of this. That's 25 hours and 10 minutes from my initial email to a press address, to them mobilizing people over Thanksgiving, assessing the data, beginning password resets, and making a public disclosure. End quote. The obvious contrast here, of course, is the disclosure practiced by Uber, which not only kept mum about its own 2016 breach until about a week ago, but also appears to have paid the hackers hush money to the tune of $100,000 to keep it quiet. Uber's breach occurred on the watch of former CEO Travis Kalanick, who, according to Reuters, knew about the breach in December of last year. The current CEO, Dara Khosrowshahi, took over the company at the end of August. Now in the process of mopping up the damage, Khosrowshahi is said to have learned of the incident in September, about 2 weeks after moving into the CEO job. He did not immediately disclose it, taking about 2 months to investigate and assess the damage. Opinion differs on whether this delay was a proper course of action. On the one hand, the incident was complex, involved the conduct of senior members of Uber's management team, and was probably not then well understood. On the other hand, people need to be warned quickly when their personal information has been compromised. Uber faces a variety of legal and regulatory actions in many jurisdictions. At least three U.S. states have opened investigations, New York, Connecticut, and Illinois, and there are said to be investigations in progress by the Federal Trade Commission, the FBI, and the U.S. Attorney for the District of Manhattan. International investigations are said to be underway in both Australia and the United Kingdom. Uber is privately held. It's believed, in fact, to be the most valuable privately held tech company in the world, but it's preparing for a 2019 IPO. Crucial to that IPO is a tender offer expected tomorrow from Japan's SoftBank. Observers think Uber may find its value damaged by the data breach and wind up paying what some are calling a Kalanick risk premium. Ousted as CEO in June, Kalanick remains on Uber's board. Mozilla is working on an enhancement to its Firefox browser to warn internet users when they visited websites known to have sustained data breaches. The feature is said to use data provided by Have I Been Pwned. An alert would come up saying, "You visited hack site fill in the blank," followed by an input field that appears to let visitors enter their email address to determine whether their data were among those lost. It's one approach to raising awareness about data loss. Bleeping Computer thinks it might be more useful if it put less emphasis on the incident and more on encouraging affected users to change their credentials. Mozilla's add-on is still in development. Security researchers at Kehoe 360 NetLab have told Bleeping Computer they've noticed an increase this month in Mirai botnet activity. They connected to the publication of proof-of-concept exploit code on Halloween. There was a three-week lag. Scans using the proof-of-concept began on November 22nd. The exploit posted online takes advantage of a hidden superuser password on older Zizel routers. The password apparently was shipped with the routers that used CenturyLink and Quest Modem default Telnet credentials. Most of the newly herded Mirai bots appear to be in Argentina. The new Mirai campaign has yet to have had serious consequences, especially since the malware isn't persistent. The bots drop out once the routers are rebooted. A group of anti-ISIS Muslim hacktivists, Dashgram, has succeeded in breaking into ISIS news agency Amaq and introduced fake news into Amaq's sites. Their goal, they say, is to contribute to the discrediting of ISIS by flooding Amaq users with bogus and scandalous yet plausible content. They have attempted to craft the fake news for believability. Announcements that an ISIS radio station had been destroyed in an airstrike, things like that. ISIS handed Dashgram a victory when it told followers not to trust links presented in Amaq. Mistrust of Amaq and other ISIS outlets is something the civilized world would welcome. The caliphate's inspiration continues to prompt great suffering. ISIS struck a Sufi mosque in Egypt over the weekend, killing more than 300 worshippers, many of them children. An attack on a mosque is unusual for the terrorist group, but they've been denouncing Sufism online for some time. The Associated Press reports that the U.S. FBI knew for about a year that Fancy Bear was going after officials' email accounts, but generally didn't inform the targets that they were being prospected by a Russian intelligence service. The report is new, and what the FBI did or didn't do and why isn't yet clear. The story is, as they say, developing. Observers note with misgivings an increase in North Korean university training on blockchain technology. Recorded Future, for example, dismisses the notion that this is an innocent intellectual trend, like a lot of ambitious undergrounds from Sinanju looking for a career in the next new thing. Most see the training as a harbinger of more attempts to loot Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies on behalf of the Pyongyang regime. Criminal interest in cryptocurrency theft is rising across the board. The Sands Institute has been blogging about an increase in scans for Bitcoin and Ethereum wallets, so hold on to your blockchains. Finally, winter is coming. Let's see, that's 20, 21, 22, 23, right, 24 days from today, up here in the Northern Hemisphere. But it's also coming for one Behzad Mezri, sometime Iranian military contractor, an alleged member of the Turk Black Hat security hacking team. Mr. Mezri was indicted last week for his alleged role in hacking the HBO series Game of Thrones. Acting U.S. Attorney Jun Kim, who's obviously a fan of the show, pointed out that "winter is coming" is the motto of the House of Stark and that, as Mr. Kim put it, today winter has come for Behzad Mezri. Of course, there's no way Tehran is going to serve a U.S. warrant on Mr. Mesri, but in some ways, it's the thought that counts when you're naming and shaming. As Mr. Kim pointed out, for the rest of his life, and he's a relatively young man in his late 20s, he will never be able to travel outside Iran. The memory of American law enforcement is very long. So think of it this way. Whenever a wanted hacker is getting ready to book a vacation abroad, the White Walkers will be there to hit him or her with an extradition order. If Mr. Mesri is fond of the beach, may we suggest the Caspian Sea. And joining me once again is Ben Yellen. He's the Senior Law and Policy Analyst at the University of Maryland Center for Health and Homeland Security. Ben, welcome back. We saw an article come by about President Trump, who has signed a Cyber Crime Fighting Act, which is set to help with local and state law enforcement. Here's a win for the president.
Yeah, he signed this piece of legislation just last week, the Strengthening State and Local Cybercrime Fighting Act of 2017. It was introduced in the House of Representatives by a member named John Ratcliffe from Texas. It also had bipartisan buy-in in both the House and the Senate, including sponsorship from Dianne Feinstein, a Democrat in the Senate who has been on the forefront of many of these issues. The legislation authorizes the National Computer Forensics Institute, located in Hoover, Alabama. So whoever is the congressman there, I'm sure had a major impact in shepherding this legislation. And the idea is that this institute will get federal funding to train local officials across all 50 states and across all of our territories to become more effective at fighting cybercrime. And I think we've talked about in other segments the importance of getting to local officials, especially first responders, who have a glut of skills, but cybersecurity and protecting against cybercrime is not going to be one of them. I think largely, you know, it's just not the practice of the industry to be well-versed in these topics, but I think we're going to see more profile events where part of the emergency response is going to require at least a basis of knowledge in cybersecurity issues. And since we already have an institute, a body that's capable of conducting these trainings, and they've already trained 7,000 local officials, I think this is a wise piece of legislation to expand that program, give it a little bit of government funding, and show that the federal government is willing to be a partner with states and localities in protecting against these threats.
Yeah, it's interesting with a paralyzed Congress that it seems like these cyber laws are some of the things that are being able to go through without much trouble.
Yeah, I mean, I think fortunately for all of us, this is an issue that hasn't been particularly polarized. I think everyone is beginning to understand the immense threat that cybersecurity poses on our country, particularly our critical infrastructure and some of our private companies. And I think President Trump, to his credit, has made this a priority. He came out with his cybersecurity executive order earlier this year. And this is another piece of legislation. And granted, it's not a major legislative accomplishment by any means, a relatively small program. But I think it's showing that he has some interest in these issues and that he's willing to sign pieces of legislation to assist in this effort.
All right. Ben Yellen, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Don't struggle to align your organization's cybersecurity with business risk. Get the only solution that goes beyond reacting to threats with vulnerability and risk monitoring. You need the next evolution of MDR, and only Critical Start delivers it. Critical Start doesn't just monitor and respond to threats. They put you in control by detecting suspicious activities, quickly responding to contain threats, and identifying your most critical assets and protecting them against vulnerabilities and exposures. With continuous visibility, expert guidance, and measurable risk reduction, Critical Start has redefined what it means to manage cyber risk. Demonstrate provable security maturity to your leadership while positioning your program to achieve the greatest risk reduction per dollar spent. Stop fearing risk and start managing it with Critical Start. Visit CriticalStart.com and request a demo today. That's CriticalStart.com. And that's the CyberWire. We are proudly produced in Maryland by our talented team of editors and producers. I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening.